Welcome, everybody, to Liberty Hour. I'm your host, Alex Newman. Thank you for joining us on the American Media Periscope Network. We have three extraordinary guests lined up for you today. Dr. Paul Alexander returns. He's going to break down. He was on the inside as the COVID mania was taking over the nation. He was serving as an advisor in the Trump administration. He's got some explosive information about what he saw, what he heard, involving Dr. Fauci and the rest of the crew. We also have the one and only Sheriff Richard Mack, the man who took on the federal government and won, got an incredible precedent-setting case at the Supreme Court, protecting state and local governments from being hijacked and commandeered by the federal government to implement their agenda. And last but not least, we're going to have Mike McCormick with us. He served as White House stenographer during multiple administrations, including the Trump administration and the Biden administration. He's got some explosive and very juicy details about what he saw. We also have our news segment, folks. So much craziness going on in the world. It's hard to imagine, but it's true. This is the stuff you need to know. Stay with us. We'll be right back here on air. All right, folks, if you've been watching this show for a while now, you know the deep state is one of my pet peeves. In fact, I wrote a whole book on the deep state a couple of years ago. And I love the term because it is popular now. Everybody knows it. The overwhelming majority of Americans understand that we have a deep state, even if they don't understand quite how deep it goes. I like to talk about the deep state behind the deep state. But you know, the deep state wants to arrest Trump. They've made that very clear. May happen this week, may happen next. We shall see. John Michael Chambers, the founder of AMP, predicted this last year. So did I and several others who saw what was possibly coming. But Trump has just released a really interesting plan to, in his words, dismantle the deep state. I normally don't play clips this long, but I want you to hear what Donald Trump has to say about what he intends to do in a second term, if and when it comes. Check it out.
Here's my plan to dismantle the deep state and reclaim our democracy from Washington corruption once and for all. And corruption it is. First, I will immediately reissue my 2020 executive order restoring the president's authority to remove rogue bureaucrats, and I will wield that power very aggressively. Second, we will clean out all of the corrupt actors in our national security and intelligence apparatus, and there are plenty of them. The departments and agencies that have been weaponized will be completely overhauled so that faceless bureaucrats will never again be able to target and persecute conservatives, Christians, or the left's political enemies, which they're doing now at a level that nobody can believe even possible. Third, we will totally reform FISA courts, which are so corrupt that the judges seemingly do not care when they are lied to in warrant applications. So many judges have seen so many applications that they know were wrong, or at least they must have known. They do nothing about it. They're lied to. Fourth, to expose the hoaxes and abuses of power that have been tearing our country apart, we will establish a Truth and Reconciliation Commission to declassify and publish all documents on deep state spying, censorship, and corruption. And there are plenty of them. Fifth, we will launch a major crackdown on government leakers who collude with the fake news to deliberately weave false narratives and to subvert our government and our democracy. When possible, we will press criminal charges. Sixth, we will make every inspector general's office independent and physically separated from the departments they oversee so they do not become the protectors of the deep state. Seventh, I will ask Congress to establish an independent auditing system to continually monitor our intelligence agencies to ensure they are not spying on our citizens or running disinformation campaigns against the American people, or that they are not spying on someone's campaign like they spied on my campaign. Eighth, we will continue the effort launched by the Trump administration to move parts of the sprawling federal bureaucracy to new locations outside the Washington swamp. Just as I moved the Bureau of Land Management to Colorado as many as 100,000 government positions could be moved out, and I mean immediately, of Washington to places filled with patriots who love America, and they really do love America. Ninth, I will work to ban federal bureaucrats from taking jobs at the companies they deal with and that they regulate. So they deal with these companies and they regulate these companies, and then they want to take jobs from these companies. Doesn't work that way. Such a public display cannot go on, and it's taking place all the time, like with
powerful stuff. And I mean, some of this stuff, you think, really, that's happening? Really? That system is not in place already? But that's what's going on, folks. We really have a deep state that is just running amok, and really powerful ideas from the president on how to rein that in. Now, the fake media wants you to think he's done, it's over, stick a fork in him. The newest polling data shows that they are counting him out way too early, like they did before. This is from Monmouth University Polling Institute. They show Trump surging against his GOP rivals as this talk of an imminent arrest continues. Trump has actually gained 15 points on DeSantis, as DeSantis lost 12 just since December. Another new poll, this one comes out of Premise, shows that Trump is absolutely beating the snot out of Joe Biden. He's got 47% to Biden's 41% in a hypothetical 2024 matchup. Independents are moving over to Trump in very large numbers. Now, last week we opened the show with talk about the banking crisis. We spent some time on it, and I warned you, even if the Fed was well-intentioned, which it's not, it only has two really bad options here. Either you destroy the economy by continuing to raise interest rates and suck everything into the black hole of deflationary asset prices and all the rest of it, or they stop pretending to fight inflation. They start printing even more money, lowering interest rates again, and thereby you destroy the currency. And of course, the U.S. economy gets sucked into a black hole. Well, it looks like the Federal Reserve is signaling what they have decided to do. They are now, just announced yesterday, actually, that they are hiking the target federal funds interest rate by a quarter of a percentage point. That's the ninth hike in just a few months. We are now in the range of 4.75 to 5%. The increases are slowing down a little bit, but they are still going up. And so that indicates that there is going to be more turmoil ahead. Expect more problems with the banks and much more. Speaking of which, JP Morgan and Chase strategists warned on Monday that the recession chances are now surging amid the banking crises and other things. Here's what they said exactly. They said the Fed is facing a difficult task on Wednesday, but it is likely already past the point of no return. A soft landing now looks unlikely, with the airplane in a tailspin, lack of market confidence, and engines about to turn off bank lending. So get prepared, folks. It may be a very rough landing. We shall see. Now, the wokeism getting totally out of control. Turns out the state of Maine is now deploying these little gangs of children. They're calling them civil rights teams to go and terrorize fellow children. Critics are comparing this to the Red Guards of Chairman Mao's day. They're not quite killing people yet, but who knows where this might end up if it continues too much longer. The scandal gained national attention when a concerned mother in Windham, Maine, spoke out about what these roving bands of little Marxist enforcers did to her daughter. Watch.
My daughter's middle school experience was a genuine struggle. She was harassed about her sexuality by students who are asked by the Civil Rights Club to open discussions about these private matters as part of their club goals. She's not political, but she does not want to talk about her sexuality in school. They insisted she was gay because she dressed gay and listened to gay music. She was then called homophobic because she wasn't at least bi. The same club in middle school put out their own survey without notifying parents, asking kids about their sexuality, then handed out pronoun pads for kids to label themselves in open discussion in school. Oh, and open discussion in school about sexuality and gender. It took over every aspect of this school for 3 years. By emphasizing differences and forcing conversation, discrimination and bullying are...
All right, folks. And it goes on. I encourage you to listen. I mean, it's just, it's horrific what's happening. And I did some quick research. I found out these civil rights teams are being deployed at government schools all across the state of Maine. I found a description of one of these at the Buckfield Junior Senior High School website. They say, and I quote, "The civil rights team invites students to be part of a group that focuses on changing the culture and climate in our schools to one that will actively prevent bias-based behavior." I guess that means unless you are displaying bias and aggression. to Christians and people who don't agree with this madness. They say that students in this group are leaders in affecting change through projects and initiatives that feature student voice. All righty, folks. The abuse of young children to terrorize fellow children and even adults is not a new tactic. In fact, the Nazis used it. Chairman Mao used it. Joseph Stalin used it. And we're not there yet, obviously, right? There's not blood flowing in the streets. These children are not yet taking their parents to the communist commissars to be shot and tortured. But this should be very alarming to everyone, folks. Over at PJ Media, Megan Fox has brilliant analysis of this, calling these people Marxist and Maoist Red Guards. And, I'm telling you, folks, if this continues, that's where we're going to end up. Now, the effect of this stuff is being felt absolutely everywhere. I want to show you this video of a group of Black students at a government-run school, an elementary school in Springfield, Ohio, grabbing a group of young white students and forcing them to kneel and say Black Lives Matter, and then they're hitting them over the head. Watch.
According to a Springfield police report, during recess on February 10th, a group of Black students forced a group of white students to say Black Lives Matter. The report says the white students who avoided the situation were chased, dragged, or carried back to the spot on the playground. One student reportedly was punched in the head. Springfield police were called the following Monday and say they...
This is insane, folks. What is going on, right? I went to school in 8 different countries on 4 different continents with every kind of kid you can imagine, every color, every creed, everything. And when I was in elementary school, it never even occurred to me that kids were some different color or that there was some difference. Why are these kids behaving like this? I think the answer is very obvious, because they're being brainwashed. They're being indoctrinated by Marxists and race mongers because they want to create division and they want to ultimately collapse our freedoms and our civilization. It's very dangerous. We're now seeing this show up at universities as well. Harvard, Columbia, all these things, even wannabe universities that are doing this type of thing. I want to show you a video from a graduation ceremony from the Columbia University Medical School. I mean, this stuff is totally bonkers now. Watch.
We enter the profession of medicine with appreciation for the opportunity to build on the scientific and humanistic achievements of the past. We also recognize the acts and systems of oppression affected in the name of medicine. We take this oath of service to begin building.
So the new and improved Hippocratic Oath, we no longer promise to do no harm, to not kill people or babies. Now we pledge allegiance to the woke race mongering. Folks, these are your future doctors, okay? I'm just throwing that out there. But really important issues are being solved right and left. The new fraudulent governor of Arizona, Katie Hobbs, signed a new executive order to ban hair discrimination. You can't make this up. She says, today I signed an executive order prohibiting race-based hair discrimination for state employees and contractors. Yeah, now you can wear your hair with pride and without fear of discrimination. And among those in attendance was another infamous fraud, Rachel Dolezal. That's the race hustler who pretended to be Black, actually led a chapter of the NAACP until she was actually exposed as white. And we know she was there because she tweeted out this little photo. So, folks, this is Arizona. This is stolen elections have consequences, right? Now, Mexican's president, AMLO, he's called López Obrador, had some actually really intelligent comments about what was happening in the United States. It's in Spanish, so I won't play it for you. But he's talking about, how can the U.S. talk about human rights? How can the U.S. talk about democratic institutions when Julian Assange is still rotting away in a prison, when there is cartel violence all over the place and Joe Biden is bombing the Nord Stream pipeline? How can they talk about freedom and human rights when a leading presidential candidate opposing Joe Biden, namely Donald Trump, is going to be arrested, according to news reports? So kudos to the president of Mexico. Thank you for pointing out the hypocrisy, folks. I do believe that America is being deliberately transformed into a banana republic as they move away from the unipolar world order into this multipolar world order. You cannot have a strong nation based on biblical principles like God created us equally, God gave us rights, the government exists to protect those rights. You can't have that kind of system in the kind of world order that they want to build. Now, over in Israel, some radical legislators introduced a bill that would criminalize the sharing of the gospel in Israel with jail time, a year if you preach the gospel, 2 years if you witness to somebody under the age of 18. But thankfully, the prime minister has announced that we will not be advancing any legislation against the Christian community. Thank you, Benjamin Netanyahu, for that. The data is in from Sweden. Maybe we can ask Dr. Alexander to comment on this when we bring him on. But this is interesting, folks. This is the data here from the government statistics agency. And I'd actually been following this. My wife is from there. I lived many years in Sweden. It's a wonderful place. And it's the only country in the world where they didn't do any mask mandates. In fact, the government told them not to wear masks. They didn't do lockdowns. They didn't do shutdowns. They didn't do mandates. And yet the Swedes had a lower mortality rate from 2020 to 22 during the height of the so-called pandemic than they did before that. So here you see the two-year average mortality rate per 10,000 people since 2001. And that's what the fake media doesn't want you to see, folks. They were lying to you from the start. I want to show you Senator Rand Paul, Republican of Kentucky, grilling the CEO of Moderna. Phenomenal stuff. Check this out. This was just this week.
Do you think it creates a conflict of interest for the same people deciding the policy of how often we have to take the vaccine to also be making money the more times we take the vaccine? Yes or no?
This is for the government to decide, Senator.
You have no opinion on whether or not it creates a conflict of interest. Is there a higher interest or a higher incidence of myocarditis among adolescent males 16 to 24 after taking your vaccine?
So thank you for the question, Senator. First, let me say we care deeply about safety and we're working closely with the CDC and the FDA to
pretty much a yes or no. Is there a higher incidence of myocarditis among boys 16 to 24 after they take your vaccine?
The data I've seen from the CDC actually shown that there's less myocarditis for people who get the vaccine versus who get COVID infection.
You're saying that for ages 16 to 24 among males who take the COVID vaccine, their risk of myocarditis is less than people who get the disease?
That is my understanding.
That is not true, and I'd like to enter into the record six peer-reviewed papers from the Journal of Vaccine, the Annals of Medicine, that say the complete opposite of what you say. I also spoke with your president just last week, and he readily acknowledged in private that, yes, there is an increased risk of myocarditis. The fact that you can't say it in public is...
Thank you, Senator Paul, for pointing that out. Now, these people just don't learn. Bill Gates of hell is what I like to call him. He's now peddling a new, as he calls it, a global health emergency corps. This is this nonsense he wrote in the New York Times. And here's what he says. He says, the emergency corps plans to run drills to practice for outbreaks. The exercises will make sure that everyone, governments, healthcare providers, emergency health workers, knows what to do when a potential outbreak emerges. To be successful, he says, the emergency corps must build on existing networks of experts and be led by people like the heads of national public health agencies and their leads for epidemic response. So if you thought Dr. Fauci did a really good job over the last 3 or 4 years, you're going to love this global health emergency corps. If you thought the Marxist terrorists running the World Health Organization, thanks to communist China, did a really good job over the last few years, you're going to love this global brown shirt health emergency corps. If you didn't like those things so much, yeah, you probably ought to start calling your legislators and expressing your concerns. Meanwhile, the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change released its latest climate hysterics, warning of certain doom once again within the next decade if you don't give more power, more money, and more freedom up to the cause. And if you pay enough taxes, they say somehow we'll make the temperature of the planet the magical number. They never tell us what the magical number is, but you know, if you just pay more taxes, that'll be all right. According to this new report, global temperatures might rise 1.5 degrees over pre-industrial levels, whatever that means, by the first half of the 2030s if you don't pay more taxes. And folks, I just actually a couple weeks ago was at the 15th International Climate Summit held by the Heartland Institute. Experts from Harvard, Yale, Princeton, numerous federal agencies, all debunking this narrative. I want to show you just a couple of quick clips. This is Dr. Will Happer. He served as Donald Trump's advisor on climate change. This is what he says happens if the climate maniacs win this battle. Watch.
Suppose the advocates of climate change hysteria and carbon dioxide taxes, suppose they get their way. How would the world look different in 5 or 10 years than it does today?
Well, I mean, it will be... like other totalitarian systems run amok, you know, I hope it won't be as bad as Cambodia, but it could be. But it could easily be like the Soviet Union, you know, you could have 40 years of misery before the whole system finally collapses. So we'll see. Let's hope that there are enough people of common sense in the world. This is an especially task for the developed countries, because that's where the problem is the worst. And let's hope that they've got the good sense to throw out the rascals before they do too much damage.
All right, so that was a professor of physics from Princeton University, one of the leaders in his field. Next up, we've got Dr. Richard Lindzen, professor of meteorology emeritus at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. All of these people, by the way, say CO2 is actually good for the planet. But listen to what this guy from MIT had to say about these plants.
So at the latest climate conference, they came out with a document that said we needed to totally restructure the world's energy systems. They said literally trillions of dollars had to be invested in this. What are your thoughts on whether that's a good investment or not?
You know the answer to that, so why are you asking? I mean, it's a terrible investment. It's a waste of money, and it's going to hurt billions of people. It's immoral.
All right, folks, that's what they're up to. Now, thankfully, the report was met with overwhelming mockery. In fact, the CNN clowns, fake news, they put out a report about how we needed to do this. And my post making fun of their post on Twitter got way more likes than theirs did. So some people are not buying this narrative anymore, folks. Also, real quick before we go, the Florida Senate committee has just passed a bill that bans abortions when an unborn baby's heartbeat begins. This passed through with a vote of 7-4 through the Senate Health Policy Committee. It's a very good sign that this will move ahead, especially because the Senate has been the bigger obstacle to protecting the unborn here in Florida. Unfortunately, Florida has become a haven for abortions. People are coming from all over the country to get abortions here, but this bill may start turning back the clock. Also, a few big articles that I've just released this week, if you want to go find them. I did one in George Magazine on UNESCO, the globalization of education. I did one for the Epoch Times on how UNESCO, the UN, they're standing by in silence as the Communist Party of China commits genocide against the Uyghur people of Western China. And finally, a big one in the New American magazine about the danger of government funding for our homeschools and our private Christian schools. Go check out all of those, folks, when you can. We're going to be right back with Dr. Paul Alexander. Stay tuned.
The world is about to shift. Banks are going cashless globally with the emergence of central bank digital currency, which will bring with it programmable money and the ability to turn on or off your purchasing power based on your digital social profile. It's like the equivalent of spyware in your bank account. You need to get out of the system with the world's safest and most private assets, silver and gold. Call Kirk Elliott, PhD, 720-605-3900.
RateLock is an innovative new feature that allows you to lock in your rate of return at any time during the year to lock in these volatile upswings of the market. And unlike CDs and money market accounts, they accumulate tax deferred and can participate in the upside of market indexes. And they're probate free, and they can provide income that you can't outlive. Let a company you can trust help you select a RateLock annuity that's right for you. Call the Cleveland Insurance Group at 844-USA-2024. That's the Cleveland Insurance Group at 844-USA-2024. The Cleveland Insurance Group, 844-USA-2024.
Welcome back to Liberty Hour. I'm Alex Newman, your host. And folks, do call Dr. Kirk Elliott. You can get the link down below. You know, these are very, very strange economic times. And having some precious metals is probably a good idea during times like this. I know I've got some. And Dr. Kirk Elliott is my guy. All right, folks, our next guest, Dr. Paul Alexander, an extraordinary individual. He served as an advisor in the Trump administration on health issues. He's got a PhD in evidence-based medicine and research methodology. And he was sounding the alarm early on about the lies surrounding COVID, about the lies surrounding the injection, about the different treatments that were actually effective rather than the garbage that the federal government was pushing. He has served as professor at major universities in Canada. He does a lot of stuff. He's got massive amounts of experience, served all over the world. We won't spend the whole time on his bio. It's amazing. He's also got a new book out called Presidential Takedown, How Anthony Fauci, the CDC, the NIH, and the World Health Organization conspired to overthrow President Trump. Dr. Alexander, welcome to the program. It's an honor to have you. Thank you so much. Tell us about this plot to overthrow the president. I mean, you saw this happening in real time. You were on the inside watching this. Tell the folks out there who didn't have a front row seat to this what these forces within the administration, these swamp monsters, deep state creatures, were doing to take out the president of the United States.
Well, Alex, once again, thanks for having me on your show. It's an honor, and I'm very humbled. And just to start off to try and address that answer, I listened to that thing with Rand Paul and Bansal lied. We have the science. The sciences are actually bulletproof that the risk of myocarditis and pericarditis, etc., is much more elevated from the mRNA technology vaccine than from the virus on its own. So that is our falsehoods by Barcelona. And these people must be jailed. Look, I'm a very blunt matter-of-fact person. What they've done with this COVID injection, what they've done with the lockdowns and the lunacy of it, we have the evidence. We gave Congress the evidence, the Senate, etc. Just jail these people now. There's no longer, you don't need anything. Don't bring them on a dog and pony. Okay, just take some actions. And the Democrats and the left and the deep state are pretty quick to jail people. They're trying to jail the president for no reason right now. So it's just like an insane. So you have to match my view. You match madness with madness. So they are insane, lunatic people. You behave insane and lunatic too. You have to. That's the only language they would understand. So let me get to that question you asked. Here's the bottom line. You threw up a graph from Sweden, and the graph basically was saying that there was no real pandemic. Well, I want to follow that graph and tell you they're correct. This entire thing was a fraud. There was no pandemic. We did face some sort of respiratory type influenza-like pathogen that was released onto the populations. I argue it was released way before February 2020. We will come to realize, we'll come to learn that this was circulating probably 1 to 2 years before. Very low level, very benign. And it was captured as colds, influenzas. In the elderly, we probably lost some elderly to it. Like how we lose elderly tonight, we would lose elderly people for normal common colds, influenza, pneumonia, etc. So we had a situation that what they did was they detected it officially in February of 2020 or so with a fraud, over-cycled PCR test, when about 95% of people were false positive. Now, they detected something that was already circulating. That's the point. This was not a novel virus. The Diamond Princess cruise ship showed us that. Our immune systems dealt with this in some capacity globally before. So we had a situation where they took something that was circulating that was not coming to the attention of the medical community because it was not that lethal, but they detected it using a fraud PCR test, and they created a pandemic. Why? Because in January of 2020, President Trump was unstoppable. There was no one in the Republican Party that could primary him, no Democrat that could defeat him, even Biden, in January, February of 2020. Everyone was happy. America had China on its knees, Trump. Everybody was working, 3.4 unemployment. All of the special groups were employed. Everybody was happy. 401k was nice. Okay, then they started this pandemic, detecting this fraud pandemic, Deborah Birx, Fauci, with their fake graphs showing the president that, you know, all these infections and then going to have cases and then you're going to have deaths. And all of the insanity that followed with the lockdowns, the school closures. Had we done nothing, Alex, nothing. Had we done zero, we'd have lost far few people than we did. It is what we did from February, March of 2020 that took most lives. It was the lockdowns, the school closures, the business closures caused many people to take their own lives, even to commit suicide. We killed people. Our government, Fauci, Birx, Azar, all of these people, all of them, Walensky today in the Biden administration, their policies and actions killed people. And our medical system, the hospitals, because when our grandparents and parents and our loved ones and co-workers went to the hospital, first of all, most often than not, they didn't need to go to the hospital, but the system had them scared out of their minds. So they were going to the hospital needlessly. But when Granny was sent from the nursing home to the hospital, they sucked her into this COVID black hole, put her into the back room and behind a glass window. Nobody would touch her for weeks. We have videos where you go in there and you peel back the blanket over Granny while she was laying down and looked peacefully and nice. Granny was covered in maggots and feces. Nobody was even touching them. You had Granny malnourished, dehydrated. Why? Because once you detected her positive, you started sedation. You put her on midazolam and diamorphine, which are like paralytics and paralyze her. She couldn't even eat. She was dehydrating and you weren't feeding her. So she was beginning to die. Then what did you do? You pumped her with more toxic drugs. Then you gave her remdesivir, which we knew was kidney and liver toxic and was killing her. And then you put her on the ventilator where nobody knew what they were doing. Nobody had proper training and the ventilator blew up her lungs. Most of the people who went on ventilators died. We lost most of the people from how they were treated in the medical system. This was never a pandemic. Had we only just isolate sick and unwell people like how you do normally. You wake up tomorrow, Alex, you feel like crap, your runny nose, your eyes are watering, you know, you have a little temperature, you stay home. You have the cold, you have something. That's what we mean. You isolate, you self-isolate. I'm not talking about hunting down people and forcing them into quarantine. No, that was all that was needed with this. You properly protect the vulnerable. So you take steps in your society, you know, but you let the vast majority of people live free. None of these lockdowns were ever needed, nothing. So what they did was they used this pandemic response to devastate Trump's re-election. Because in January and February, he was unstoppable. He was on pace to win about 380 electoral votes. We're looking at the data. By the time summer came along, the ravages of the lockdown were telling. And I had conversations with people who were from CDC, from NIH, from FDA, who came to the HHS building various times for various meetings. And these people, I was overwhelmed because they would want to come and speak. I didn't even know them, but they would find me in my office and find me after meetings and say, oh, we've heard you. We heard you in teleconferences, blah, blah, blah. We just wanted to meet you, you know, this scientist with this accent, blah, blah, blah. But in our conversations, they would tell me our daily job is to subvert, to damage Trump. Our job, we are part of the deep state. We want to make sure that every day his pandemic response is chaotic. The country looks ungovernable and unmanageable. And while it's Fauci and Burks running the lockdowns, Trump is getting the blame because President Trump didn't understand. When you come out on that stage, don't take to the podium and speak. Make these scientists the front face. But he didn't do that. He spent 15, 20 minutes talking first, talking about the re-election, talking about the pandemic. He wore the pandemic response. And for that, he wore the devastation of the pandemic response. Yet, he was making decisions because he trusted his scientific counsel. And they were deceiving him and lying him. Deborah Birx wrote that in her book. She said, we slow walked. We prevented giving him data. We didn't help them. They said, once we got Trump to bite for 2 weeks, 2 weeks to bend the curve, we knew that we weren't going to open society again. He didn't know that. But we just needed him to bite. And he did. They boast about that today. So they took a non-nefarious situation. Yes, you pay attention to things. Yes, something came. Something was released. Yes, we know that. But it was like an influenza-like illness. We deal with it. We had early treatment. We knew what needed to be done quickly. We knew who the high-risk group was. In February of 2020, the median age of death was 82 to 83 with three underlying medical conditions. We are in March of 2023. The median age of death is still 83 with three underlying medical conditions. This respiratory type illness behaved like how a respiratory type illness would behave. It's just punishing.
Dr. Alexander, we're just about out of time in this segment, but I want to thank you so much for speaking out, for your courage. I strongly encourage everybody to get the book. Your website is drpaulalexander.com. You also have a Substack. But thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for your courage in exposing this. And hopefully we'll get you back on very soon for some more details. All right, folks, stay with us. We're going to be right back with Sheriff Richard Mack. Stay tuned.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact, and prevent people from being misled. Subscribe today to our digital edition at theepochtimes.com and join the Americans who are seeking truth and tradition. We'd love to have you on board.
Hydrogen is used by health professionals as a powerful antioxidant and the number one tool to fight inflammation. Studies show therapeutic potential in cancer and essentially every organ and system in the body. Visit holyhydrogen.com to see the latest technology that elevates your immune system and fights inflammation. Search their research library to see if hydrogen has a track record for helping a health concern you're dealing with. Make sure to use your special American Media Periscope code, AMP, for $100 off your order.
Welcome back to Liberty Hour. I'm your host, Alex Newman. Thanks for joining us. Our next guest, a friend and an extraordinary individual. His name is Sheriff Richard Mack. He has a long career in law enforcement. He began serving over a decade in the police department in Provo, Utah. He ran for sheriff back in his home turf in Graham County, Arizona, served a couple of terms there. He actually took on the federal government in a major case involving unconstitutional gun control. He got it all the way up to the Supreme Court and won. Major victory. The Supreme Court once again articulated the anti-commandeering doctrine, pointing out that the federal government cannot commandeer state and local resources for its purposes. Sheriff Mack is also the founder of the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, one of the most important groups in America. They are training sheriffs and lawmen all across this great country of ours to understand their responsibility to protect our God-given rights and the Constitution that they all swear to uphold. Sheriff Mack, thank you for joining us. It's an honor to have you on the program. I want to start off with Trump. I mean, you're a lawman. You've been in law enforcement for, you know, virtually your entire career. They want to take Trump to jail. They want to arrest him. What are your thoughts? Do they have a solid case here? Is this something that the law enforcement community ought to be going after?
Actually, I've been perplexed by what Bragg is doing in New York, because he's trying to enforce election law finances. That's really not his purview. He needs to turn that over to the Federal Election Commission, which has already reviewed this and refused to indict or even investigate Trump on this. It just seemed to them a little bit too frivolous and didn't seem to really be a crime. Now, when the election is just starting again, here we have the Democrats going after President Trump. But this is the issue. I have seen a lot of cases that deal with this. And there's really two things that are very unique that I think I'm presenting in a very unique manner, because I haven't really heard anybody else talking about this. One, the first word is extortion. The only crime I have seen here is the blackmail and extortion by one celebrity name, porn star name, Stormy Daniels. If she in any way is trying to take money to remain silent about an affair, an alleged affair that she had with Trump, she is committing a crime. Why isn't anybody addressing that? Why isn't Bragg arresting her? She's already admitted to it. Everyone knows it's nationwide, it's worldwide, that this lady is committing extortion against Trump. I have never heard ever where the person making the payment is arrested. And we have one case in point, David Letterman. There was somebody inside his organization that actually threatened him and asked for $2 million or they were going to expose of love affairs that he had with staff at Late Night with David Letterman. Okay, I've actually been to his show before, and it really wasn't that funny. But I still enjoyed going in at Sullivan Theater, and you know, something that I've always wanted to do. But that was about 10 years ago with my son. The point is, David Letterman was being blackmailed, and instead of succumbing to this, which he probably could have paid him very easily, he turned him over to the police. That person was arrested. David Letterman was not arrested for the affair or any criminal intent whatsoever. If he had paid the money, would David Letterman have been arrested? No. So what are we talking about here? Election finance misrepresentation? Okay, again, that's not up to Bragg. Turn it over to the FEC. And so we really do have a crime here. And it's probably a very serious felony. And Stormy Daniels has committed it, not Trump. Where is the real law enforcement here?
I'd say there's one big difference, Sheriff Mack. David Letterman was not running for president on a platform of draining the swamp, defanging the deep state, and making America great again. So I mean, understand the circumstances here, the context, right?
Well, I understand why the deep state is afraid of him and the left-wing leftist Marxists. I understand, because Trump exposes their subterfuge, their crimes, and their corruption. Of course they don't want Trump back in there. This is an exciting historical time. And again, we see an example of how the deep state and the Democrat Party want to get rid of this man and try to make it difficult for him. But it looks like it's backfiring, and it looks like the polls are indicating that it is backfiring on them. And I hope it does. It actually has me more convinced that Trump is a good man, because how bad the deep state wants to get him. And then there's another word, extradition. President Trump, you are making a huge mistake trying to fight with Ron DeSantis. First of all, Ron DeSantis has not been an average governor. You need to stop doing anything fight-wise with him. First of all, you're going to need him after you get the Republican nomination. You're going to need him on your side. That's just the political side. However, Mr. Trump, haven't your lawyers told you that if you're in Florida when this indictment comes out and your arrest is there, make them go through the extradition process? That's in our Constitution. You would have to be extradited, and Ron DeSantis would have to sign your extradition order. Ron DeSantis could keep you in Florida and refuse to extradite you, and you would be a free man. And they couldn't come down and touch you, because Ron DeSantis has said that this is a bogus political attack on you, and he's not going to cooperate with their idiotic charge. I think that would be huge, that you and Ron DeSantis would be working together to stop this nonsense at its most crucial point, and make a mockery of what this is, and show the subterfuge and corruption of Bragg and New York, and say, hey, we're not going along with this. I think that is a wonderful idea, Mr. Trump. Stop criticizing, stop fighting politically with Governor DeSantis, get him on your side, and stop this extradition. Whether you guys are fighting or not, I still think he would do it. I think he would deny New York the extradition.
Yep. I think so too, Sheriff Mack. And I would hope that Ron DeSantis would do that. It'd be a good example for the rest of the Republican governors about how you fight the deep state. And we've only got a few minutes left, Sheriff Mack, but I want to lead right in from there to an area that I know is right in your wheelhouse. You've been training sheriffs and lawmakers all across the country to really understand the Constitution. And you don't just talk the talk. You actually walked the walk. You did it yourself. What is the power of the sheriff? You know, during the COVID madness, I was here in my little corner of Florida, and we didn't have any of this stuff. You know, DeSantis was protecting us from the feds. Our state or our county and our local government said, we're not going to do any of that stuff. But a couple counties over, you know, there was an executive order coming out every day with face masks, mandates, shutdowns. The sheriff has enormous amounts of power to uphold his oath. Talk to the folks out there about that power, how it can be used, and how folks can approach their sheriff to get this ball rolling.
Well, the ultimate law enforcement authority in every county or parish is the sheriff. History points that out. It's a historical fact. It's also a common sense. We the people are the only ones who appoint our sheriffs, elect our sheriffs. He answers directly to us. He's not a bureaucrat. He doesn't respond or reply or answer to any bureaucrats. He is the ultimate authority because he answers to the ultimate power, and that's we the people. My Supreme Court victory bears that out. The history of that bears it out. And we at the CSPOA train citizens and sheriffs alike to join together in creating and erecting the barriers, as Madison called them, erect the barriers against the encroachments and corruption of the federal government. They have the power to investigate and arrest any federal bureaucrat who is breaking the law or abusing and violating the civil rights of every citizen in his county. I believe that the sheriffs of this country, if they would only unite, could arrest IRS bureaucrats, FDA, EPA, and protect the American people from the onslaught of this of these corrupt bureaucrats. I don't want, as Trump said, I don't want to move them to Colorado. I want them fired. I want these bureaucracies cut back or abolished just like they should be, and just like Reagan promised to get rid of some of them. Let's fulfill that, and let's get these bureaucrats off the backs of the American people. The sheriffs have the authority to do it, and we're training them almost on a daily basis.
Amen. Sheriff Richard Mack, such an honor, such a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you for all that you do. Hopefully we'll get you back on for another segment very soon. Thank you, sir. All right, folks, stay with us. We're going to be right back with one more guest, former White House stenographer Mike McCormick. Explosive information. Stay tuned.
At Nature Reigns, we're dedicated to a holistic way of living that improves your quality of life from one day to the next. It all begins with a new technology called the Quantum Cellular Scan. We will remotely map the inside of your body from organs and vital signs, frequencies and tones, and find the results that will help identify what your body needs. We then tailor a health plan that fits you specifically. Welcome to a world of natural health. Welcome to Nature Reigns. Did you know that there is a community of human beings that live to be well over 100 years old? The Hunza people live to be anywhere between 120 to 140 years old. Their secret? Vitamin B17. At Richardson Nutrition Center, we have developed a product line to easily incorporate B17 back into your diet. Use your special American Media Periscope code AMP888 to receive 15% off your first order at rncstore.com.
Welcome back, folks, and do support our sponsors. RNC, great company. Actually, I take that every single day, vitamin B17, extraordinary product. And so do support our advertisers, folks. That's what helps pay the bills here, keeps us on the air. Also, if you need gold from Dr. Kirk Elliott or even just advice, get in touch. The link is right below. Our last guest for today, an extraordinary individual. His name is Mike McCormick. He served as the White House stenographer for 15 years. So he was in the White House like constantly. And then in 2020, he realized just how evil and corrupt the Obama-Biden administration was. He has now filed multiple criminal complaints with law enforcement agencies. He went all over the world on Air Force One and Air Force Two. He actually went to China and Ukraine with Joe Biden. So he's been there. He's done that. He's got a number of incredible books, Joe Biden Unauthorized and the 2020 Crackup of the Democratic Party. Also 15 years, a deplorable, a White House memoir. And he's even got one for the kids called Young Jesus. Mike, welcome to the program. Thank you so much for joining us. So you've been filing some criminal complaints. You're alleging that very serious crimes are taking place here. What's the story? Are these people really criminals?
First of all, Alex, thanks for having me back. Yes, Joe Biden is a criminal. That's what I told the FBI. I went on to their tip website and filed a FBI tip. It's under pain of imprisonment. If you lie or provide false information to the FBI in one of those witness tips, you can go to jail. You can be prosecuted and go to prison. So I did that because everything I know is true. It occurred on in April 2014 on a flight I took on Air Force Two with Joe Biden. And one of the things that I've been doing is I wrote my book, and it came out 3 years ago, just about now, 3 years ago, the middle of March, the lockdowns hit. It didn't get a lot of public play. It was self-published. But as we went through that year, and Dr. Alexander was amazing with what he was saying about the lockdowns and how unnecessary they were, we realized that it was a terrible plot against the president. And part of the plot was put in place by the Obama-Biden administration. Right now, we see the effects of that. Joe Biden is our president. I go back into his history. I have access to the Hunter Biden laptop. I was given that access by MarcoPolo.org. It's an anti-corruption nonprofit. About a year and a half, they gave me the laptop, and I've been digging into it. Well, because I travel with Joe Biden, I know what kind of happened during what period of time for his schedule. And then I weigh that against what I see in the laptop. And that's where I found evidence that I brought to the FBI. I signed this witness tip, and I haven't heard back from him. It was a month ago I signed it.
Fascinating stuff, Mike. Absolutely fascinating. And so, you know, people got little bits and pieces, you know, Joe Biden threatening the Ukrainian government with $1 billion in foreign aid that wasn't going to come if they didn't fire the prosecutor who just so happened to be investigating the company that had put his crackhead son on the payroll for $50,000 a month. Of course, the ties to the communist Chinese. Now, the House is actually investigating multiple enormous payments from senior members of the Communist Party of China to multiple members of the Biden and crime family, even like girlfriends of the crackhead. I mean, it's just unbelievable what is coming out here. Do you think this is like a crime family masquerading as a political family? I mean, what do we make of this? And how have they been able to get away with this for so long while authorities are talking about arresting Donald Trump? It's hard to understand how this could even happen, Mike.
You know, when I first started looking into it in the Hunter Biden laptop, I thought it was just Joe and Hunter. But the more I write this into my Substack, I've been publishing some lately. And the Substack, by the way, is called Midnight in the Laptop of Good and Evil. But it was a conspiracy within the Obama White House. It started before 2014, before Ukraine. And Obama's been covering it up. And Joe Biden was part of it to enrich himself and his family. There were other members of the administration. John Kerry's son was also partners with Hunter Biden in some business deals. They all benefited from their fathers going back and forth with U.S. Assistance to Ukraine, and then they would get a kickback from that through their sons. And that's what I told the FBI. The flight that I witness tip that I gave was specific to an Air Force Two flight I took on April 21st, 2014. And this is the schedule that I was able to look at in the White House, in the laptop. This is Hunter Biden's schedule from April 16th, 2014. You can see I've underlined where he goes with Devin Archer to White House at 11:15. He goes and meets his dad. This is 2 days before he gets signed on to be on the board of Burisma. This is 5 days before Joe Biden gets on this plane with me and Jake Sullivan, who is the purveyor of this information. So this is a plot that comes out of Joe Biden's White House West Wing office with Hunter Biden and Devin Archer. And when it progresses to the point where Joe Biden is on the plane on Air Force Two, we're flying into Ukraine, and Jake Sullivan comes walking to the back. My job as a stenographer is to record him as he speaks to the press. And one of the press asked him, what's in this energy assistance you're bringing? And he said, well, the energy assistant is for non-conventional gas resources, unconventional gas resources. Well, that's fracking. And that's what Burisma's specialty was. And that's what Joe Biden and his son and his business partner were talking about 5 days earlier in their West Wing meeting. And Sullivan knew it. He comes back and he tells it. At this point on the airplane ride, as we're flying in and these press are asking these questions, no one knows that Hunter Biden is already on the board at Burisma that is about to receive assistance paid for by U.S. taxpayers from Joe Biden. It's a legal crime. It's public corruption. That's what the FBI should be investigating, and they're not. They haven't got back to me. They need to get back to me. I should be a witness in front of one of these grand juries that's investigating Joe Biden and Hunter Biden because they're criminals.
This is just so amazing, Mike. Thank you for breaking this down on this program. I didn't even know a lot of this stuff before you. So this, I think, is going to be new information to a lot of people. And folks, there are national security concerns here, too. You know, the guy behind Burisma is actually the guy who created Zelensky, the current leader of Ukraine. The relationships between the Biden crime family and senior operatives in the Communist Party of China, these are national security issues. This isn't just public corruption crime. These are things that potentially affect the security of our nation, the security of our people. Mike, we're almost out of time, but I want to give you a chance to talk a little bit about your books. How can people follow your Substack, your website, and where can people learn more?
Yes, my Substack. So it's a Substack. It's called Midnight in the Laptop of Good and Evil. My books are on Amazon. My family, that's my Joe Biden book. There's 15 Years of Deplorable. That's a White House memoir. Basically, I worked for Joe Biden as Donald Trump was coming up through the ranks and became what I could tell was going to be the next president. So that's what I wrote about. Then we wrote with my mom is an artist, and she is very devout Catholic. She had an idea. She said, Mike, I have this idea. Let's do a book about what young Jesus was like when he was a boy. And we had my children do the illustrations. And so this book involves our made up stories of how Jesus interacted with his parents as he was understanding that he also had a heavenly father guiding him. And then there's biblical passages. This is a great bedtime story to read your kids. We're facing a time in our country where we need more spiritual reinforcement. And this is a way to build a spiritual life for a family from the time that kids are young and they get their bedtime stories.
Mike, thank you so much for coming on the program. Really appreciate all that you do. Stay with us, folks. We will be right back with final thoughts.
Banks are supposed to be the safest placeholders for cash in the world. But in 2022, that changed. The Federal Reserve pulled out $2.5 trillion of liquidity out of the banks. And the Fed also changed the requirements so banks don't need to keep any funds on hand. This means banks are starved for liquidity and have now become very dangerous places to hold your assets. Get out of the system with the world's safest and most private assets, silver and gold. Call Kirk Elliott, PhD at 720-605-3900.
Here's what you missed at the last Ask the Expert.
There are 20 stories happening today that just one would have been like a blockbuster for the decade. It's like everything is falling. We're looking at the collapse of a system.
You ask the questions. You participate. Next time, interact with Christy Lee. Ask the Expert every Thursday night at 8:30, only on AMP Insider.
Welcome to a new era of connecting patriots, AMP Insider.
Genocide Jab by John Michael Chambers is now an Amazon number one bestseller. If you've not yet read this critically important book that exposes uncomfortable truths, you should get your copy now. Or bundle with The World Awakens Volume 1 and 2 and get a 20% discount at ampnews.us.
We're just about out of time today, but I want to thank you for tuning in to Liberty Hour. Thank you for tuning in to the American Media Periscope Network. Please share this out, folks. We've got to get this information out to more people. You're not going to find this on the fake media. You're not going to find this even on, you know, Fox News or Newsmax. This is stuff that you're only going to find here. So get the link, send it to your friends, send it to your family, send it to your pastor, send it to your elected officials. Thanks again for tuning in. I'm Alex Newman. This is Liberty Hour. Until next time, God bless you all.
Banks are supposed to be the safest placeholders for cash in the world. But in 2022, that changed. The Federal Reserve pulled out $2.5 trillion of liquidity out of the banks. And the Fed also changed the requirements so banks don't need to keep any funds on hand. This means banks are starved for liquidity and have now become very dangerous places to hold your assets. Get out of the system with the world's safest and most private assets, silver and gold. Call Kirk Elliott, PhD at 720-605-3900.
Where we go one,